Well, in effect, what we've done is we've priced out every possible combination of purchase date and start date in advance. Right. There's very little anti-selection because of the death benefit. Right. Right. Because somebody would have died, I'm going to give them their money back anyway. With right, the retirement income, they don't have a choice. So, right, exactly. Good question. There's a lot of education that has to go on. We've tried two different approaches. One that goes into a lot of, detail about the education, and that typically doesn't seem to work well, only because, A, all you need to do is raise the awareness. So you have to say, how much time and effort do I want to spend raising awareness? That can be r awareness raising can be done very easily. Two, all they want are tools. Tools that help them to tell a story, an effective story, a real story that will resonate with their clients. So A, you have to have a disturbing element there that says effectively, look, you can run out of money. You're not trying to scare people to death, you're just trying to educate them on the facts, but very crisply. And then secondly, once you've created that disturbance, the agent then has to have solutions. Okay, well, what are you going to do about this? And the solutions have to be, again, they can't spend 2 to 3 hours with a client, educating them on every possible issue. They have to say, look, here's some ways that you can do this. And we're still going through a learning process here. Again, it's I said, here's the genesis of a successful idea. I can't tell you that it's been successful yet. So the jury's still out, but there's a lot of interest. And bottom line is that what we're seeing is that the reps are basically saying, give me some tools that I can help to explain this. Educate me, bring me up to speed very quickly, and let me do the same for the client.
We are in the process of developing tools for our advisors. Yeah, we'll be addressing a number of those issues. First question is essentially who's allowed to see the quotes, and each of the companies can see the market in terms of advisors in the United States. The advisor is only allowed to see those companies that he's licensed with.
One company can't see the other company's data, correct?
A company can see the other company's data. This is essentially publicly available information that we're making it a little bit easier to get. But not the algorithm. Oh, no, the algorithm. No. No, the algorithm is confidential. No one sees the algorithm.
And you think it's having an effect on price? Having an
effect? I believe it should have an effect on price. That is going to be subject to a study that IFIT is going to start working on.
Maybe I can add a little bit of context there. We actually use Lowell's Exchange. MetLife participates in that. And I can tell you for a fact that, you know, when we looked at the other companies, you know, offerings, in order to be competitive within the particular distributors that we wanted to show our prices to, we certainly attempted to, you know, undercut the other providers' prices in order to generate some additional market share.
Well, you put down the presentation, when you give it to the agent, do all companies have the same presentation form, sort of,
The initial presentation is exactly the same, and then you're allowed to click on the company that you're most interested in, and you see the company's presentation, which is the same illustration that you would get from the company software.
No, that was okay. The question was whether regulation prevented the payouts from extending beyond 70.5.
The start date.
The issue there was the tax regulations, which basically subscribe or require that a minimum amount be distributed of the customer's implied value starting at age 70.5.
Was that Canada or U.S.?
That was the U.S. I'm not familiar with the Canadian requirements.
69.
Age 69?
So. Okay, so in other words, the penetration you had is not starting at 85 turned out not to be possible.
Only for those prescribed, only if you have an IRA. If you take
right.
The money out of tax pay, you can start with everyone. It's only if you have anybody with an IRA.
Correct. Correct. The 70.5 limitation applied only for qualified funds. And that was by our self-imposed design constraint given the tax requirements. So we could have said, you know, you could take it at 85, but then at age 70.5, we'll have to find some way to tell you what the implied value is that you have to distribute from some of your qualified funds. You can't get it from here because there's no cash here. The concern we had was it was possible that client could come back and say, you know what, I have no more qualified funds anywhere to take this distribution from. Then we'd be stuck. Actually, I think you had that a little bit reversed.
I get the question properly. I understand that the retirement, my interpretation of your version of the retirement product where you have to take it at age 70 was that was part of the one that also provided flexibility up to age 70 rather than only age 70.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so my question is, have you had any interest or demand in the no bells or whistles version of the retirement product, similar or parallel to your age 85?
Oh, okay. So question was, is there any demand or have we had any demand for the very cheap version of this, or highly leveraged version of this concept, where the income can only start at age 85? And the answer is, you know, it's not as good as I was anticipating. On the one hand, I'm able to say, look at how cheap you can get this. On the other hand, seems like consumers have an aversion for giving up money. They don't want to lose money, and even if you show them that, you know, there are analogies that they're very familiar with, in terms of covering risk. For example, fire insurance. You know, you pay your premiums, and if your house doesn't burn down, you never complain that you paid the premiums. But you'll have a fit, or you'd have regrets if you didn't have the fire insurance and your house did burn down. You know, but so there are analogies where people give up money to cover risk without recourse to the cash that they gave up. And we're saying this is a very similar concept, except you have to wait for a very long time to get it. You know, hopefully you'll never need it, but you know, you never know. You can live beyond 85. In fact, that's typically life expectancy. Half of the folks are going to live beyond 85. So
your experience with the age 85 only product has not inspired you to look at a parallel product just for retirement at age 70?
Correct. Well, actually, I should add a little bit of context here. We actually did look at that, and what we found was that having a version without a death benefit at age 70 did not provide a sufficient enough increment in the income that could be purchased over the version that had a death benefit. And again, a practical consideration. We didn't want to offer that and then have a beneficiary come back and say, well, you never showed my spouse the version that had a death benefit for me, and you know, they only got $10 a month more. You know, why'd you make them buy that?
You know?
Position.
If you go bankrupt, does your debtor have access to it at all? Or?
As far as I'm aware, okay. The question is whether debtors have access or creditors have access to your annuity. Life annuity assets upon bankruptcy, and as far as I'm aware, they don't.
It's state by state. It depends on state by state. A lot of states protected, but it's not universally protected.
Okay, so it's not universally protected.
So, I've tried all three presentations. I guess this is for all of the guards. It seems to me, for 60-year period, the default of this has got to be a part of even for MetLife. I know it's come up before, but credit risk has got to be in there. I'm sure you've probably been implicit. You don't want to frighten people buying your policies, obviously, but as a consumer, I would think about credit risk and default risk. So I just wonder, if that comes up, how do you respond?
Well, for MetLife, okay, the question is, you know, how do we respond to concerns that consumers might have about credit risk or default risk? About MetLife being around for, you know, the next 50 to 60 years, and I say it's not a new consideration, okay? With this product, it's not a new consideration. In effect, you're already subjecting yourself to the risk with an immediate annuity that starts today for the very distant payments, yeah. And the only thing we can say is you look at the MetLife ratings, you know, the public ratings, all the public financial reports. Met's, you know, one of the largest insurance companies by various measures. And there's no guarantee that we're going to be around, but, you know, they better be around for as long as I'm retired, because my pension is going to rely on. Well, the state guarantee funds, can those be used in presentations about the products that we sell? And the answer is that we're legally not permitted, or the representatives are not legally permitted to discuss state guarantee funds when purchasing insurance products. Now, you know, we can certainly make the reps aware that they exist, but they cannot actually include it in the presentation. They can make people aware, but they have to go do their own research. The consumer has to do their own research. Annuities are protected up to $100,000 of initial deposits, and that's actually, frankly, a lot more than I would anticipate going into a concept like this. It's not a standalone product or standalone sale. The way that, you know, we position it is as a, you know, a way to protect. Just using a portion of your assets, it's a way to protect your longevity, but you keep, you know, most of your assets liquid. We also do present these products in the context of 401k plans, you know, younger folks saving for retirement. It would be hard to think of someone actually putting $100,000 into this. You know, maybe over 20 years, $5,000 a year, that's a very high rate of savings for a, you know, 25-year-old or 35-year-old. That probably wouldn't be the market for this. A very high net worth individual doesn't need annuities. You know, they have enough cash.
In response to Selim's question, you weren't able to say this, but the fact is that the state guarantee funds will cover a lot of credit risk.
Correct.
We won't tell them.
Other questions? Yes,
Jonathan. Yeah, to follow back to the color picture.
Yes.
Yeah, in the particular illustration I didn't, but yes, I mean, you would certainly, in order to apply this model in a more realistic setting, yeah, you would add Social Security, which has an inflation adjustment, and if the defined benefit, the person also has a defined benefit plan, which also would have, you know, could have a COLA clause, we would want to take that all into account as well. Mm-hmm. Right. What you're trying to annuitize is the gap.
Well, in terms of the United States, Finetra offers some clearinghouse for variable annuities, and iPipeline offers a clearinghouse for fixed deferred annuities.
Actually, I can add a little bit more to that. Again, having worked with Lowell on, you know, these illustration capabilities, what we find, and, you know, Lowell won't shoot me for saying this, but for variable annuity, for example, if it was a deferred annuity, they're so specific to the various manufacturers, you know, I'm not sure how he would be able to cope with putting up our illustrations, which we probably spend millions of dollars on illustrations. If it's more, you know, sort of standardized, like a fixed immediate annuity, or maybe even a variable immediate annuity, we would certainly consider those, you know, to put into an exchange if Lowell were to offer it. Like the this other life annuity, the longevity annuity, that's pretty basic. Something like that, if other companies were to offer it, I'd be very interested in putting ours into an exchange like that. But if it's highly customizable or very specific to the carrier, you know, it wouldn't make sense to me to go to Lowell and say, well, could you put this up on your system? Because I don't think it would be apples to apples.
Standard Life here.
I think actually index annuities quite
Well, yeah, and there's So the question is, you know, how feasible are CPI indexed payout annuities, and how do you hedge behind them? To the point you made earlier, there are very few companies. In fact, in the U.S., I believe there was only one company that offered a CPI indexed annuity. The reason is that if the price of inflation indexing, just from the consumer standpoint, is significant. So, for example, If a non-indexed annuity paid $1,000 a month, at age 65, an inflation indexed annuity might cost or might have an initial starting payment of $600 a month. It's going to be a huge discount on initial payment. Depends on the age, and but they are feasible from a financial standpoint. We're currently looking at offering these at MetLife, despite the expectation that the consumer demand may not be there to hedge them. In the U.S. Treasury bonds, there are bonds that are indexed to inflation called TIPS. And with a TIPS strategy on the investment side, plus, you know, you'd want to have some margins over Treasuries by taking some default or C1 risk. That's a way to back inflation indexed immediate annuities, as well as price them.
Ha 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 ha!